Understand, your mind is weaker than your emotions. But you become aware of this weakness only in moments of adversity, precisely the time when you need strength. What best equips you to cope with the heat of battle is neither more knowledge nor more intellect. What makes your mind stronger and more able to control your emotions is internal discipline and toughness. No one can teach you this skill. You cannot learn it by reading about it. Like any discipline, it can come only through practice, experience, even a little suffering. The first step in building up presence of mind is to see the need for it, to want it badly enough to be willing to work for it. Historical figures who stand out for their presence of mind, Alexander the Great, Ulysses S. Grant, Winston Churchill, acquired it through adversity, through trial and error. They were in positions of responsibility in which they had to develop this quality or sink. Although these men may have been blessed with an unusual amount of personal fortitude, they had to work hard to strengthen this into presence of mind. The ideas that follow are based on their experience and hard-won victories. Think of these ideas as exercises, ways to toughen your mind, each a kind of counterbalance to emotion's overpowering pull. Expose yourself to conflict. George S. Patton came from one of America's most distinguished military families. But Patton was also a sensitive young man, and he had one deep fear that in battle he would turn coward and disgrace the family name. Patton had his first real taste of battle in 1918 at the age of 32, during the Allied offensive on the Argonne during World War I. He commanded a tank division. At one point during the battle, Patton managed to lead some American infantrymen to a position on a hilltop overlooking a key strategic town. But German fire forced them to take cover. Soon it became clear that they were trapped. If they retreated, they would come under fire from positions on the sides of the hill. If they advanced, they would run right into a battery of German machine guns. If they were all to die, as it seemed to Patton, better to die advancing. At the moment he was to lead the troops in the charge, however, Patton was stricken by intense fear. His body trembled and his legs turned to jelly. In a confirmation of his deepest fears, he had lost his nerve. At that instant, looking into the clouds beyond the German batteries, Patton had a vision. He saw his illustrious military ancestors, all in their uniforms, staring sternly down at him. They seemed to be inviting him to join their company, the company of dead war heroes. Paradoxically, the sight of these men had a calming effect on the young Patton. Calling for volunteers to follow him, he yelled, "It is time for another Patton to die." The strength had returned to his legs. He stood up and charged toward the German guns. Seconds later, he fell, hit in the thigh. But he survived the battle. From that moment on, even after he became a general, Patton made a point of visiting the front lines, exposing himself needlessly to danger. He tested himself again and again. His vision of his ancestors remained a constant stimulus, a challenge to his honor. Each time it became easier to face down his fears. It seemed to his fellow generals and to his own men that no one had more presence of mind than Patton. They did not know how much of his strength was an effort of will. The story of Patton teaches us two things. First, it is better to confront your fears, let them come to the surface, than to ignore them or tamp them down. The sensation of overcoming a deep-rooted fear gives you confidence and presence of mind. The more conflicts and difficult situations you put yourself through, the more battle-tested your mind will be. Second, Patton's experience demonstrates the motivating power of a sense of honor and dignity. In giving in to fear, in losing your presence of mind, you disgrace not only yourself, your self-image, and your reputation, but your company, your family, your group. You bring down the communal spirit. Being a leader of even the smallest group gives you something to live up to. People are watching you, judging you, depending on you. To lose your composure would make it hard for you to live with yourself.